Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Well, hello, all of my dear friends, those who I've met, those who I've never met, maybe some I'll never meet, but you're all my friends. If you've come here today, I am delighted that you're trusting me with a half an hour of your life. I am Randy Dean, as you just heard from my wife. I am the No BS Bishop. I'm alive to love. Every value less than love is potential BS. Folks, let's rise above the BS. Let's be lovers of all humanity, lovers of our neighbor, lovers of our enemies, lovers that will be known and have a reputation of having turned the world right side up. I want to dive into something today. I'm recording this in the middle of the pandemic, the COVID-19 pandemic, and It's a troubling time on so many levels. I mean, there's no way to even calculate it all. You know that better than I do, so I won't go through all the calculations of it, but it has given us a great pause, P-A-U-S-E, a pause in the middle of our life, a great time for evaluation. It seems significant to me that it's in the middle of Lent and of 2020, and in this Lenten season. I heard somebody say the other day, boy, I gave up a whole lot more for Lent than I was counting on. Ain't it the truth? But in the middle of Lent, which is a time of reflection, a time of healthy introspection, I'm convinced that there is such a thing as unhealthy introspection when you are obsessing internally, but there is a powerful introspection. The 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous call us and challenge us to do a fearless and searching moral inventory so that we are never, ever out of touch with ourself, out of touch with our own failings, our own preposterous weaknesses that own us, so that we can come out of that with an ownership of it and then move forward with life, making amends with those that we can. So I want to talk to you today about this time of COVID-19. Love is the vaccine. This is the time of COVID-19, and love is the vaccine. Let's be alive to love in this time when we are in a pause from jobs, a pause from large gatherings, even church gatherings. This is a time for us to give great internal review so that we are, each one of us, alive to love. Let me go through seven things with you today. I'm going to go through them quickly as I can. You can go back to the archive of WPCA radio and re-listen to this, but I'll go through it as quickly as I can without being too short-changed on any topic. But here are seven points of healing that love alone will bring us. Love alone is credible. Love alone will be the final word on all reality. So number one, what love does, what love brings us, is a depth of emotional healing. All of our emotions, from anxiety, crippling panic attacks, all of our emotions are in need of love. Every emotion, whether it's anger or sadness or even great happiness, needs to have a depth of love to it, so that even in our anger, we're restrained. I'm not saying that you can just go ahead and be angry any way you want. But I am saying anger is a normal human emotion. If you can't get angry, I would ask for you to take a closer stock of how you respond to life. So anger needs love, because then love brings a restriction to what anger could otherwise do to somebody or say to somebody. Love will bring about a self-control. So emotional healing is one of the great results of love that is honest and authentic. We need a depth of emotional healing in this time from those anxieties and the panic attacks, those sudden, harsh, but crippling emotional depths that grab us. May love come there. So when you feel those things, invite love. Whatever love looks like to you, invite love down on the inside of you. 1 John 4 in the Bible says that he who dwells in love dwells in God. He who dwells in God dwells in love. You see, God and love are absolutely synonymous. God doesn't just love, God is love. So in his love, he is seeking to just rifle through the layers of you emotionally and bring you healing. The second layer of beautiful healing and what love can do to change us is that love changes and heals our thought life. When we allow love into our thinking, how we process, you know, what you think isn't as important as how you think. Sometimes we think we've got to just change what we think. I don't know. I think thinking, I hear myself saying think. I think thinking is a pretty powerful human mechanism. I don't know that we can always just take charge of our thought life and suddenly change it. But I do believe we can flood something into our thought life, like the great value of love, get rid of all the BS in our life, and let love get in on the inside of our thoughts. Let love be the basis. Let love be the end result. If you're thinking through something difficult, let love be the end result. If you're thinking through something of a memory or a painful thing, let love get in the middle of that and bring healing to your thought life. Our thoughts will determine our feelings. Here's an example. If you're thinking something, you're eventually going to have a feeling about that thought. If I keep ruminating and thinking and chewing on the fear that might be present during this COVID-19 quarantine, I'm going to end up being very, very troubled in my emotions. Thoughts are the preamble to our feelings. Thoughts precede the feeling. So if I change my thoughts and how I think, again, not what I think, but how I think, and let love get in there, love can change my thoughts and heal my thoughts. So that's the second part about what love can do in our lives. A third value of how love can bring healing to us, and this may sound redundant, but hear me out as much as you can throughout the statement. To be significantly loved, undeniably and permanently connected by love brings us to significant healed relationships. Let me say that again. To be significantly loved, to be undeniably and permanently connected, comes from the power of love. The most significant relationships in our life are always going to be powered by love. Love is the engine of relationships. It is it's the currency, if you will. We learn how to interact, how to be connected with people through love, and making love that engine, that power behind our relationships will genuinely connect us to people. I have discovered in my own life that my relationships, whether they're with my grandchildren, my children, my friends, my neighbors, my relationships are going to be at several different points of reference, whether it's from acquaintance, personal physical contact, verbal contact. Love has to have an opportunity to get in there in order for that relationship to grow. So if my relationships, for instance, my grandchildren, I've got a couple of grandsons who live about 100 miles or so away, so it's difficult to be in their physical presence as much as I would love to. And so what I have to remember is that when I talk to them on the phone, when I get a FaceTime screen time with them, I have to make sure I'm recharging my love for them in that moment so that I'm not regretting that we don't have physical time together, but I am charging the moment with love. I'm making the moment count by the power of love. The engine of love in that relationship needs to be all the more present if I'm limited in my ability to have physical contact. I hope I made sense about that. So even in that, love is the engine. But if I have physical contact and personal contact with a grandchild, say we have a few grandchildren who live right close to our home. So if my relationship with them is closer, the same rule applies. Love heals that. Love keeps me thinking through their lives. You know, some of my grandchildren are coming up into that teenage process of life. I remember my teenage process of life. Woo-hoo! Boy, did it take a whole lot of love to manage me. I said some things and did some things with my mother and father. It's a miracle I survived them not taking me in the backyard, digging a hole and burying me. I'm just being serious about it. I was such a smart aleck. But I know that teenage era, that teenage season, can often be one of the most challenging times to just love somebody. But yet, at the same time, if I will learn love in the middle of challenge, my relationships are going to get deeper and more significant. So to be significantly loved, undeniably and permanently connected is it to significant relationships is going to demand of me the engine, the force of love active in me. All right, I got to keep moving here. So the fourth portion of healing that comes to us through love is when we are holding love on the inside of us, when we are sustaining and maintaining the significance of love as a value in our life, then we are then given a better ability to effectively convey the truest quality of love. Sometimes we are all, myself included, we're all on some level challenged to convey the truest quality of my love. I could give so many examples, but I know so many folks. I've been there myself, but so many folks who are not practiced in the art of love. Their words, their vocabulary, their means of expression are not well rehearsed. If inside of me, if I can sustain the engine of love on as a meditation, as a daily quantitative thing and qualitative thing, then my ability to convey the truest quality of love will grow. There are so many people, and you know, in this time of quarantine, I guarantee you that there are people who are starving for some loving connection, some loving communication. And those of us who have that love should absolutely determine in ourselves to get in touch with folks. Handwrite a letter if there's senior citizens in your life. Those folks would adore a handwritten note. If you can't do that, if that's just not your forte, then get on the phone. If you can't do that, then call the residence they live in, if it's a senior residential area, or even if it's a memory care area, and ask them, how can I look through a window from the outside to see my loved one? And just let them see me so that I can say, I love you. Maybe I bring some cards with me that are printed that say, I love you so much. There are so many ways to get around this thing of being quarantined. But there is one way that's going to get us through it, and that is to sustain the engine of love, to give us a high energy in conveying the truest quality of love. The lump hangs in my throat. My mother and father both passed away rather early. My mother was 72. My dad was 68. Now, I'm 67. Today is my birthday, by the way, as I'm recording this. I just turned 67. I am so aware of how young my parents were when they died. As a result of that premature removal from my life, and yes, I know I'll see them in heaven, but I am going to be honest with you and tell you, I deeply miss them. I dream of them often. I deeply regret. I really do. I deeply regret that I did not convey the truest quality of my love to my mother and father. I am urging all of you listening to me to get up off the stool of do nothing and do something. Get up out of the chair of apathy and be fully empathic. Be a person of connection to your parents, to your grandparents, to elderly neighbors. Make sure that in this time of COVID-19, when the elderly among us are the most vulnerable, some of the most vulnerable to this virus, they will hear and understand your love for them. If you say it with clumsiness, say it anyway, and just apologize for the clumsiness. So, love inside of you will give you a deeper and better ability to convey the truest quality of your love. Now, the fifth thing about the healing power of love, it'll heal us from the victim mentality, to assert that my life has challenges that only others can correct inside of me. Love will heal that. Listen, to be a victim means that I believe everything wrong in me is the result of others doing it to me. That's a victim mentality. I understand there are true victims in this world. And I would, here's what I would say about that. If I sustain in me a victim mentality that is not genuinely valid, that has not been validated by professionals or by clergy or by people of a true conscience about what victimization is, then if I sustain a victim mentality, which again is to assert that all my challenges can only be fixed by others, if I assert that, then I'm robbing true victims of what they may genuinely deserve in getting correction and justice and healing in this world. To be a true victim is to be somebody who needs someone to come alongside of you as a partner, whether it's through the legal system or through law enforcement or just by good friends stepping up and saying, I'm not going to let you be victimized anymore. To be a true victim is to need people who come alongside of you to give you a partnership to get out of it. But to be in a false victimization, asserting that all my life's challenges are just what everybody else can do for me, that's got to get some healing in it. And healing comes from being loved. Let love get in there, convincing you right now, wherever you are, may love convince you that you can be a bigger lover than you have been victimized. You can be a greater lover if some of your victimization has been valid. It has carved a deeper root system and foundation in you to be a better lover, a person of love for all people. All right, my time is getting away from me, so I wish I could spend a whole broadcast on just that number five, the healing of the victim mentality, but let me tell you again, we are all on some level on the receiving end of being a victim. But all of us can, in the process of that, rise from it if we have been in any way suspicious that our victimization has been a purposed and angry thing that has caused us great pain, then get help. Go to the legal system. Go to a counselor. Go to a professional. Talk to your pastor. Talk to your priest. Get somebody to be your partner. But if it's not that level of victimization, if it's on other levels, then yeah, true, maybe you should get some partnership, but maybe the partnership would be to hold you accountable to healthy self-love. All right, I got to move on. Number six, the value of healing from love inside of us can heal us of the what I would call a spirit of poverty. Now I want to say that so carefully because I believe there are a lot of rich people with a lot of money who live in a spirit of poverty, who act like there's just never enough. There's never enough. No matter what I've got, no matter how much money I got, there's never enough. And that impoverished mentality that is screaming for love is keeping even a wealthy person trapped in a selfishness and an unloving pattern. I propose to you that love wants to get in there and set you free. I mean, right now, think about the Christmas story and Scrooge. You know what Scrooge needed? He needed healing from the spirit of poverty. Old Scrooge had all the money he could have ever wanted and needed, but what was wrong with Scrooge was there was such an impoverished mindset on him that he couldn't let go and let others enjoy some crumbs from his table. He had an impoverished mindset that needed love in there so that he could love out from a greater place of wealth. Internal wealth. You know, again, this time of quarantine is going to be a real test for us. I was thinking the other day, I'm due for a haircut. In fact, yeah, today I should have gotten my haircut. This was 5 weeks out for my hair to get cut, but the person who does my hair had to call and cancel because their salon is closed. And it occurred to me, you know, and should have been easy to figure out, but it just took me a little while to figure out, you know what? She relies on my tips. She relies on me giving her whatever it is I give. And I give generously when I tip. I don't cheat anybody of a tip. And I told my wife, I said, I've got to get her mailing address and I'm going to drop her a check for a tip because I will not let that person do without. Maybe they've got other means. Maybe it's unemployment. I don't know. But what I do know is every month that person gets a tip from me. Then I would hope that they're budgeting toward that tip, that they're keeping that tip in a savings jar or something, because that person needs my generosity. Here's what I'm saying. Love will free you from a spirit of poverty, get you out of thinking there's never enough, and it'll change to there's always enough when love is present. And last but not least, number 7, the value of love, getting it into a full partnership and participation in our life. Number 7 is this. I personally convinced, I can't prove this scientifically, but I have this powerful sense in me that we can be physically healthier when love is present. I know I've read through the years studies about even animals, even a puppy or a baby chimpanzee, a kitten, you name it, just any kind of infant, even a little calf is going to be more healthy and approachable and have an ability to live more vibrantly if that baby has been loved. If love is present, the physical nature of that chimpanzee, the physical nature of that puppy, that kitten, that calf, the physical nature is changed because there's something sets up in the molecular system. Their DNA gets stronger. Their immune system is stronger. Once again, I'm a bishop, I'm a pastor, I don't have a doctor's degree, but I can tell you just from the observation of 67 years on this planet, that people are healthier when they're loved, and they're healthier when they are loving. So I'm convinced that health is a part of this love process. Being healthy is a part of us being lovers of people, lovers of life, lovers of people, and in our processes and our professions. You know, if you don't love your profession and you just can't find a way to love it, then find something you can love. It's an old saying that calls out to all of us that do what you love and the money will follow. I think that has to do with this whole process of what I'm saying here, that we can be physically better, physically healthier, physically more immune to the viruses that are around us if we love and are loved. So get out there, find love, do your part in being loved and being a lover. It'll correct your physicality. I'm absolutely convinced of it. It'll make you better able to fight off the little gremlins of life that want to tear you down physically. All right, let me give you a quick review of these 7 points of how love heals life. Here it is. Number 1, emotionally, love will heal you when emotionally you're allowing for love in your inner world. Number 2, your thought life gets better when love is at the bottom of all your thoughts, when love is the first and the last part of your thoughts. Number 3, to learn significant love, to be undeniably and permanently connected to significant relationships, happens because we fire up the engine of love in every relationship we have, no matter how small or great it may be. 4, we can be healed of the inability to express love when we allow love. To get love to be, again, that engine fired on all cylinders inside of us will create in us a vocabulary for love. Number 5, we can be healed by love of the victim mentality, that the victim mentality can be eradicated when we love, when love is really valued by us, then victimization falls further and further down on our priority list. I want to repeat there on the victim mentality. If you've been in any way physically victimized or unjustly or illegally victimized, get help, get partnership, you know, blow the whistle somewhere, get a policeman, get a priest, get a pastor, get a counselor, make sure you're getting the kind of help you deserve. But understand this, that the victim mentality can exist in people who are just simply trying to live their life. Number 6. We can be healed of a spirit of poverty. And thinking about Scrooge, you know, Scrooge was an impoverished soul, though he had all the money he could have ever wanted. Let's get out of that. Let's be free to be generous, no matter what. And number 7, I am convinced that physical health is stronger. It's more, we're more able to fight off viruses. We're more able to be a people of vitality when love is a part of our lifestyle. I think love is that vaccine. I said at the beginning of this, during the day of COVID-19, love is the vaccine. Love will not only vaccinate you, it'll vaccinate the people you love. It'll give them a stronger sense of life. So at the end of this quarantine, at the end of this physical challenge with this virus, I'm utterly convinced that our world will be better, not just physically, but because we will have learned the power of love, that love will have risen in our priorities and in our activities to a place where it should have always been to begin with. So today is my birthday. I'm 67, happy to be alive, happy to be with you, sharing with you on my birthday. And on my birthday, can I just give you a birthday gift? And that is this. So do this with me as I close every broadcast. I do it this way. Clear your line of sight, clear your lap, put your phone down, make sure you hear me say one thing to you right now. I love you. You are loved. However small or great that may be coming from me to you by this this digital means, I just want you to know somebody out here in the big wide world is ready and aiming. Love your way. Love changes everything. Love alone is credible. Love alone is the only thing worth everything. May we rise to the occasion in this day and time to be lovers of all. Get out there and do something beautiful, folks. Ugly's been done to death. Get out there and be a beautiful lover, because hate has had its day. It's time to replace hate with the beauty and the significance of love. Thanks for joining here today. Be here every Saturday at 5:30, every Sunday at 9:30. And understand that these broadcasts are archived and you can refer people to them and copy and paste this and send it out to your friends. We'd love to hear from you. Ginger will give you, my wife will give you the address where you can contact me by email. I love you. Go out there and do something beautiful, because ugly's been done to death.
Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.